Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
This is Kent Washington, the first American and black basketball player to play professionally behind the Iron Curtain in communist Poland. You are listening to the Total Sports Recall podcast of the Sport History Network. Now, here's your host, Har Aronson.
Welcome to the Total Sports Recall podcast. And the intro music you heard for this show was the Duquesne University fight song. It was played because the guests for this episode played basketball for the school, as well as having been a star at Valley High School in Pittsburgh. It is with great honor to welcome B.B. Flannery to the show, a man who in Pittsburgh is simply a basketball legend. If you're from Pittsburgh and were around the city in the 1970s, and you with the name B.B. Flannery. When I was in high school, graduating in 1977, during my high school years, I clearly remember B.B. Flannery coming to my high school to play against my North Hills Indians. What I remember is how great a player B.B. Flannery was, and his reputation and popularity in Pittsburgh basketball at the time was second to none. It was sheer excitement and anticipation waiting for B.B. to take the floor. Before we bring B.B. onto the show, let me give you some of his accolades. Born Baron Flannery, B.B. attended Ridge Avenue Junior High School, where he once scored 81 points in one game, which resulted in him being featured in Sports Illustrated's Faces in the Crowd, this coming in the defeat of Deer Lakes by a score of 124-52. That season, B.B. averaged 50.2 points per game. B.B. was featured in Sports Illustrated and was offered a full scholarship to prep school in Pebble Beach, California, specifically Robert Louis Stevenson Prep. As a graduate of Valley High School in New Kensington, Pennsylvania, B.B. set the school single-game record recording by pouring in 52 points and had four games where he scored over 40 points. His high school scoring total was 1,896 points, something he did in 3 years as he was not permitted to play as a freshman. B.B. Flannery was an AK Valley scoring champion and repeatedly was named to the all-section team as well as being named section MVP in his junior and senior seasons. In the Western Pennsylvania Interscholastic League, or WPIAL, in his junior and senior seasons, B.B. was named to the first team All-State by the United Press International and Associated Press. In B.B.'s senior year, he was named most valuable player for the state of Pennsylvania and had received the most votes. In his senior year, B.B. Flannery was named to the Parade magazine All-American team and became one of only 13 in Western Pennsylvania basketball history to be named to that team. In the immensely popular and annual Dapper Dan Roundball Classic, B.B. scored 25 points when Pennsylvania took on a United States team. Valley High School was ranked 5th in the country in B.B.'s junior season, and that team was voted by area coaches as the greatest team in Allegheny-Kiski Valley history. With a scholarship to Pittsburgh's Duquesne University, B.B. scored over 40 points twice, playing against West Virginia University. In their Coliseum, B.B. set the scoring record by putting up 48 points and became the Sports Illustrated Player of the Week. While playing in the West Virginia Mountaineer Classic, B.B. was named Most Valuable Player after scoring 41 points in the first round and then followed it up with 48 points in the championship game, resulting in 89 points in two games, which set the Mountaineer Classic record. At Duquesne, B.B. was named to the first team All-Atlantic 10 in his junior and senior seasons and led the league in scoring during his junior season, averaging 21 points per game. In his senior season with Duquesne Dukes, B.B. was named honorable mention All-American and graduated in top five in scoring and assists while playing just three seasons due to an injury. B.B. Flannery is the only player in Duquesne history to lead the team in scoring and assists in three straight seasons. In 1977, Duquesne made the NCAA March Madness tournament, the last time they have reached the national playoffs, and B.B. Flannery started in that tournament as a freshman. In his senior year at college, Duquesne made it to the NIT, the National Invitation Tournament, where B.B. was the captain of the team for that year in his junior season. In 2010, B.B. Flannery was inducted into the WPIAL Hall of Fame. The Pittsburgh Basketball Club created an award named after B.B., which is the B.B. Flannery Guard of the Year Award to the top high school guard in Western Pennsylvania basketball. If these accolades are not enough, B.B. Flannery had a basketball court on Barnes Street in Pittsburgh named in honor of his jersey number 15. That and 14 were B.B.'s numbers, but at Duquesne University, his permanent number was number 15. With all that said, and these are not all of B.B.'s accolades that were listed here because there are many more, I'd like to welcome you to Total Sports Recall, B.B., and I can't say it enough how much of an honor this is to be seeing you on camera and having the opportunity to have a conversation with you, given your reputation and legacy in Pittsburgh.
Well, Harv, I want to thank you for inviting me on. It's a pleasure to be on with you and to meet you as well.
Okay. Well, the first thing I'm going to ask you, B.B., is what age did you first pick up a basketball and take to the court?
I was probably in about third grade. Our high school team had went to and made the WPIL playoffs. And they actually beat Farrell on a buzzer beater. And at that time, Farrell was a powerhouse. And our high school had beat them. And I got a chance to see the game and piqued my interest. And I fell in love with the game.
Excellent. Well, as a young kid, did you ever imagine your career would pan out as it did and that you would develop into the magnificent player you became?
No, Harv, I really didn't. Basketball has always been a joy to me. Loved the game. Slept with a basketball. Dribbled a basketball to school. So it was just the love of the game. I really had no aspirations, really. You might not believe this, one way or another. At a young age, it was just the pure joy of bouncing that ball.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your freshman year at Duquesne, you played alongside a great player named Norm Nixon, who would go on to a fine career with the Los Angeles Lakers. What was that experience like playing with Norm Nixon?
It was fun. I ended up getting hurt my freshman year, actually, but we worked out all summer when I first came to Duquesne and played one on one. And I'll tell you the truth, it was fun. Playing with Norman, I only got to play with him 8 games my freshman year because I ended up getting a concussion playing against the Mountaineers, Bob Huggins, and I ended up getting he hit me with an elbow and I got a concussion. But playing with Norman throughout the summer and also during the preseason, getting ready for the season and up until those 8 games – it was fun. I mean, we still remained the closest of friends. We had some good one-on-one battles. I can't say that I won any of them, but I think we both learned from each other. I was a pretty good ball handler, and I helped work on his left hand. And he kind of was my mentor at Duquesne, obviously, and we still remain friends till today.
Oh, that's excellent. And Bob Huggins, was he the coach at West Virginia? Did he also play ball?
He played ball at West Virginia.
So as a young basketball player, B.B., heading to Valley High School to play ball, is there a pro basketball player that you try to emulate your style after?
My favorite player growing up, as far as professionally, he ended up being my roommate with the Celtics, was Pistol Pete Maravich. He with the floppy socks and and the flair for the game and the behind the back passes and through the my game was similar. I scored a lot of points and obviously in your introduction had a lot of assists, and a lot of times people People forget when you score a lot of points, they forget your ability to pass. And I think that's what happened with Pistol as well as myself. But to be honest with you, I've never had idols growing up. My idols were the people I could touch. My heist, Torrence Lau, Bill Ayers. You won't recognize those names, but those were high school kids, people that I could touch. So I've never been one to be in awe of people on TV, but because most of my role models were people who I seen on the playground, and I wanted to be like them.
Sure. Well, I was reading a line that your alma mater high school, Valley High School, their school colors were black and gold. Is that true? Because if so, that matches our professional teams in Pittsburgh, the Pirates, Penguins, and Steelers.
Yeah, they were. The Valley High Vikings, black and gold. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Very good. Excellent. And years since leaving Duquesne basketball, BB, you now have an award named after you, a basketball court in your honor. And to top all of that off, you're a member of the WPIAL Hall of Fame. I'm sure that must make you proud of all those honors. What do they mean to you?
They mean a lot to me. I don't want to be disrespectful. They mean a lot to me. But basketball and awards, really, you know, I put them in perspective. There are people out there that are soldiers. People that are protecting our freedom. There are firefighters running into buildings while people are running out. There are nurses. There are teachers. I think society's got their priorities backwards. I think that the athletes get all the and actresses and actors get all the accolades, and the people who really, really make a difference in the world. You know, they get paid pennies while athletes get paid millions and millions of dollars. My 85-year-old father, his joy to see my family's joy, and the legacy with the playground and the legacy with the name named after me and being in the Pennsylvania Hall of Fame and WPL Hall of Fame. Something that my kids and grandkids can enjoy forever, and the, giving out the award in my name when I'm gone, and the playground being named after me. It's leaving a legacy for my children and grandchildren that I'm most proud of.
Excellent. And that was very, very well said, everything you said. And I completely agree with you on how athletes are paid so much money, and other more important things in the country are forgotten and pushed behind everything else because of that. So that was a very, very excellent. BB, you've been in Sports Illustrated, played in the NCAA playoffs, the NIT, the West Virginia tournament. So the Dapper Dan Classic, being a 65, was played in 2007. Pennsylvania has won this event only 5 times while losing 15 times to the United States All-Star team. When did you play it, and did your home state of Pennsylvania win?
I played in 1976. No, we did not win. We made a comeback. It was myself and Sonny Lewis, who played at Shenley, great player at Shenley. Ed Sherman, who played at Pitt. Michael Brooks, who played at LaSalle, had a great career in the NBA. We made a comeback on the United States, but we ended up losing. I had a great game though. I had 25 points and numerous assists. So it was great because everybody at that time, Western Pennsylvania was the hotbed of basketball, and everybody wanted to play in the Dapper Dan. So it was a great experience.
Well, some of your teammates from Duquesne were drafted into the NBA. Norm Nixon already mentioned, but there was also Bruce Atkins and Doug Arnold. Were you ever considered for the draft, BB? And if not, did you consider trying to go pro on your own?
Well, actually, Tommy Heinsohn, the great Boston Celtic Hall of Famer, was my agent. And I was the first pick. I was first 10 All-Atlantic 10 2 years, but I didn't get drafted. But I actually went to the Celtics as a free agent. On that team was Pistol Pete Maravich, Larry Bird, Rick Roby, Tiny Archibald, Dave Collins, Cornbread Maxwell, Robert Parrish.
Wow.
I went from rookie camp. I beat all the rookies out. There were five rookies brought into vet camp. The great Bob Ryan from the Boston Globe wrote an article on me. I'll have to send it to you. He wrote an article that I shouldn't be. What it said was, first time observers cannot believe the confidence in which the caption was the raw rookie. So I was out there playing and cheering, and they couldn't believe that I had so much confidence. And at that time, Casey Jones was the assistant coach. Bill Fitch was the head coach. And I lasted up until the last cuts for the Celtics. Yeah, and Pistol Pete, who I've mentioned earlier, he was my roommate in vet camp. So Bob Ryan said that I should make the team, but it was a truly unmakeable team with Tiny Archibald, and then they had Chris Ford and all those guys. Man, that was – I think there was like 8 Hall of Famers actually on the on that roster. So I didn't make the team. So I went over to Venezuela and played professional basketball over there for 5 years. And I had a pretty good career over there. I played in Caracas, Venezuela. And Caracas was the capital. So it was almost like being in the United States in Caracas. But we went all over South America and ended up playing in Brazil for the South American Cup. So it was a great experience. So I did get a chance to dabble with the pros for a little while and then, play overseas and had a good career over there.
Total Sports Recall is sponsored by Mira Artistry, where you can purchase beautiful fine art photography and abstract art. Contact Mira Artistry in regards to commissions and availability of the pieces on her site. She would like to create something special for you. For the photography and art lovers in your life, Mira Artistry has the perfect gifts for you. Visit Mira Artistry at www.miraartistry.com. That's MEARAARTISTRY.com. MiraArtistry.com.
So, BB, before we pick up with the interview, I just wanted to mention that one of the reasons I reached out to you is because a high school classmate of mine, Mitch Mansfield, had come down from Pennsylvania to take a little vacation, and he came over to have dinner at my house, and we were talking about high school basketball and the fact that your teammate Benji Pryor was playing against North Hills, and that our football coach had asked Steve Fidel, who was on my show previously and was a football player and a pretty big dude himself, to come on and play basketball for him just to guard Benji Pryor. And so as we're talking and having that conversation, I said, yeah, and B.B. Flannery was on that team. I said, man, I remember when they came to our high school to play, and, you were such a name there, and everybody was excited to see you come play. So that's how I actually ended up asking you to come on our show.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. There was a great rivalry with North Hills back then.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I reminded Steve of that, and he thought it was pretty funny, pretty excited that you were coming on the show. So, BB, I had a guest on last year. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. His name is Kent Washington. And his story is that he became the first African-American professional basketball player to play professionally in communist Poland. So I asked him this question, and there's so many European basketball players now in the NBA, and they seem to play more fundamental basketball, at least in my opinion, in Europe than they do in the United States. Do you agree or disagree with that? And in your opinion, are the professional European players now more talented than American players?
I would say the elite European players are. I wouldn't say from top to bottom, but I would say the players, Doncic, Jokic, Wimby, and all those guys, I personally think that in Europe, in other countries, they're much more hungrier than American players. They work harder. They don't know everything. American players seem to know everything. European players are students of the game, which is important. So that's my take on it. But I think that they're quickly catching up. And I think if you had an all-star game with the Europeans against the United States, the Europeans would win.
Wow. Well, had you ever heard of Kent Washington?
I have not.
Okay. Yeah, if you get a chance, you may want to go back and listen to the podcast. This is really interesting because he played over in Europe in 76, 77. Poland was still under communist rule, and they had martial law going on. And he became quite popular over there and actually told me that the soldiers would come out of their tanks just to get his autograph. He became very popular in Poland. So a really unique story. He wrote a book about it as well. But a very, very humble gentleman. Yes, one more basketball question for you, BB. The discussion is out there as to who is the greatest professional basketball player ever. My vote clearly goes to Michael Jordan, but there are those who will argue LeBron James. Wilt Chamberlain, I think, has to be given serious consideration, with Julius, of course, Dr. J. Irving not far behind. As a young kid, I watched Dr. J, and he was simply amazing. I mean, when Michael Jordan came along, I've never seen a player who could perform in all the aspects of the game the way he did. LeBron's a great player. His numbers speak for themselves. But I just do not think he's as talented or as athletic as a Jordan, Chamberlain, Irving. I've never seen Wilt Chamberlain play, but I've seen his film. And my goodness, he was just so big and strong, and I feel like he had the body type to play in any era. So with that said, I ask you to answer, who's the GOAT?
In my opinion, who's the GOAT? Let me break this down in a couple points. The GOAT for me is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. His high school team was voted the greatest team of all time, and he was the star of that team. He went to UCLA, and UCLA won a national championship. Freshmen couldn't play, so they scrimmaged the varsity, and they beat the national champions by 20. Then he goes on to play his sophomore, junior, and senior season. He's MVP of the NCAA's most valuable player of the tournament. They win 3 championships. He graduates and he goes to the Milwaukee Bucks, and he leads them to a championship with a team that nobody knows of. I do, John McLaughlin, Bobby Dandridge, but they're not household names. He then leaves there. He goes to the Lakers, wins 5 more championships. So if you go by championships, he's got more than Jordan, he's got more than LeBron. If you go by points, well, LeBron just passed him. All NBA teams, first teams, college championships, MVPs, high school championship MVPs. Every team he's touched has been a champion, and he's been the MVP. Now, I think he's the greatest player of all time. I mean, I don't even see how anybody compare him to Jordan, because he's got more titles. He's got more all defensive teams. He's got more points. What criteria are you judging it on? There's no criteria Jordan has over, other than the eye test, over than Kareem. Mm-hmm. Now, the most dominant player of all time was Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, he scored 100 points. He averaged 50 points a game. I mean, can you imagine? And even Bill Russell, who's supposed to be this great rebounder, do you know who has the all-time rebound record in the NBA?
I'm not sure, but I would say, if I had to guess, Dennis Rodman.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Is that a good guess? No. Yeah.
Wilt Chamberlain had 55 rebounds.
Wow.
Do you know who he had it against?
Bill Russell.
And Bill Russell was a rebounder. So he's still got the record to the day, 55 rebounds. Wilt Chamberlain is most dominant, but I don't think you can compare era to era. Would Shaq have done that back in the 60s? Maybe, maybe not. But the most dominant is Wilt, in my opinion. But until somebody can give me a criteria of the GOAT, Kareem's got more championships than LeBron. Mm-hmm. He's got more all NBA defensive teams. He's got more all-star games. What's the criteria? Mm-hmm. So my criteria is if you leave the NBA alone, go to college. What do you do in college? What do you do in high school? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Kareem's my GOAT.
Yeah, and Bill Russell, I hear his name sometimes, and because he played for so many great Celtics teams, he was part of championship teams, but I don't think he was the centerpiece of those teams either. And
he was definitely the centerpiece, but he also had – it was an 8-team league, then it became a 12-team league, and he also had several Hall of Famers on his team. So he had the luxury of having the best players in the league also on his team.
And one thing about Kareem, though, and everybody probably agrees, is that sky hook was just indefensible. I mean, that was probably the best shot in the history of the NBA. I mean, you just could never stop that shot of his. It was unbelievable. It was like automatic every time.
Yeah, it's the most – they say it's the most indefensible shot in history. So, yeah, the sky hook.
And you're right about championships, because if you want to switch to football, you know, everybody wants to think that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever because he's got all these championships. But in my opinion, he's not my greatest quarterback, and it's not because he won 7 titles, because I don't think he was the most talented quarterback ever, plain and simple.
I don't. But people judge – I don't even know where they come up with that. People judge how many championships you win – by how great you are. It's a team sport. Now, if you want to go by golf, that's fine. If you want to go by tennis, that's fine. But when you get into team sports, you can't go by how many championships you won. My all-time favorite quarterback is Dan Marino. So, but I'm biased. I'm Pittsburgh guy. So.
I hear you. There was talk about him getting on this podcast, and if that happens, that'd be very, very cool, because, you know, he, like myself and you, are all from Pittsburgh. So that would be – very neat to have that opportunity.
His brother-in-law was one of my closest friends, Larry Richards, KDKA. Oh, okay. So I'll give Larry a call and see what we can do.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Well, like I said, your teammate Benji Pryor, I've already spoken to, and he's willing to come on the show as well. And I think at one point that'd be very neat to have the both of you guys on the show together. That'd be very cool to have a round table and possibly even get Steve Fidel back on here, since you guys played against him on the courts. So that'd be really neat. Some final questions for you, BB. Was basketball the only sport you played? And if not, what other sports did you play? And additionally, being from Pittsburgh and still living there, obviously you're a fan of the pro teams. Are there any thoughts on the Pirates, Steelers, and Penguins you might like to add? And I will throw in there that I did watch the game last night, and I'm telling you what, I sweated that one out, but it's very exciting. I'll be pulling for the Tennessee Titans and the Miami Dolphins today.
For sure. No, actually, most people don't know this. I was a better football player than basketball player. I just happened to love basketball more. But yeah, I mean, I played one game in high school against the powerhouse Kiski area. First game of the season, Valley had never beat Kiski, and I'm going to say it. You know, I went out for the team so we could beat Kiski, because they never had. And I scored a winning touchdown with 1 second to go.
No kidding.
And I was a first team All American. So third, no, I'm lying. Third team All American. So I left playing football. A big tribute to me was Greg Meisner just went to Pennsylvania Hall of Fame. Valley football player with me, and then he played at Pitt, and then he played for the Rams for about 14 years. And when he went into the Pennsylvania Hall of Fame, he mentioned that I was a better football player than basketball player. So,
no kidding. Wow. That's
amazing. Yeah, most people don't
something
know
you
that.
Learn every day. So our listeners just learned something new about you, BB. So did Benji play with you on that 1 year?
Benji, yeah, we all came up. I played midget league, and mm-hmm. I played junior high, and I did exceptionally well. But yeah, Benji Rose was on my teams. He was on the team with Greg Meisner and Benji.
Wow,
we had a pretty good team, but yeah, and it was funny because I was a wide receiver, and the coach said, you know, look for BB. If he's not open, don't pass it to nobody but BB. And if he's not open, you could pass it somewhere else. And that's wow. And Benji was on the team as an end, and Greg Meisner. I was the wide receiver. Benji was an end. Greg Meisner was an end. But mm-hmm. the unique part about that is that's never happened to me in basketball. My coach, my high school coach, Mike Rice, was my college coach as well. And he's never said – give it to BB. No one else shoots except BB. So it was kind of funny that one game in football that happened to me, but in many years of basketball, that never happened.
So as quick as you were on the court, were you as fast on the football field?
No, I would like to say as smart as I was on a basketball court, mm-hmm. I was just as smart on a football field because mm-hmm. – you know, I think the players today are much more talented, but I don't think they're very smart. Mm-hmm. I can watch a Duquesne game or any game, and the guys will catch the ball out of bounds. Like, they'll catch the ball, and the ref will blow the whistle because they're standing on the out-of-bounds line. pay attention if you watch a game now. I bet you every game somebody yeah. catches the ball standing out of bounds. Now, how do you don't know where you're at? So my point to that is mm-hmm. I've always prided myself on being smarter than my opponent, you know, watching mm-hmm. film, knowing the game, being a student of the game. And that's one of the things that was in the Boston Celtics article was – I couldn't jump or wasn't very fast, but I knew the game. So.
Yeah. Do you have any footage of when you played ball, BB, either high school or college video?
No, cause back then it was the 8mm, you know, so.
Unfortunate. I was going to say, I'll put that on my website. If you had any of that, I would love to do that. So, as you know, you will have a page on my website. Every guest that comes on the show will get a page. So, you're going to have to get me some photos of your choice to add to your profile. It's going to be on my website, just so you know that. Of all your coaches, BB, who is your favorite? High school, junior high, college?
Well, you got to remember, my high school coach, Mike Rice, went to Duquesne when I went to Duquesne. So,
oh, wow.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I didn't know. I'm learning something new every day here. By the minute, I'm learning.
When I signed at Duquesne, he signed at Duquesne the same day.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
So my high school and college coach were the same. I would probably say, and I had a junior high coach, and then, obviously, Bill Fitch for a while. So I would probably have to say Mike Rice because he was my coach all the way from junior high school, all through high school, all through college. So it would have to be sure. Mike.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. Well, as I do with every guest, BB, I give the opportunity for my guest to have the last word in the interview. And I'd like to tell my listeners what you're doing these days, any projects you might be participating in, public appearances you might be making, whatever you need to say.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me. What I'm doing now is I work with troubled youth, not just troubled youth, youth and families with mental health issues. They come to our school if they get put out of their school. It's always been – I have my own camps. I do a lot with the Willie Thrower Foundation. I'm the vice president of the board of Willie Thrower Foundation. Willie Thrower is the first black quarterback in the National Football League. Most people don't know that. They know Chuck mm-hmm. Cooper is the first black basketball player. The guy from the Dodgers, I can't think of his name. can't think. First black baseball player, but they don't know who the first black quarterback in the National Football League. So we're bringing awareness to that. I'm working with that. I'm bringing a Boys and Girls Club to my hometown of New Kensington. Just very active, you know, helping the community. That's what I'm doing now.
That's always a great thing. We're glad to hear stuff like that. Definitely community help is a big thing. And I'm actually in contact too. I don't know if you heard of millions.co, but they help promote former athletes with their endeavors after their careers. And I'm going to have to talk to them, and possibly you might be interested in getting involved with millions.co too, because they'll give you your own page and it allows you to promote whatever activities you're in.
So, oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful.
I'll see if they can help you out. So folks, if you'd like to pass along any comments or best wishes to BB Flannery, you can send them to me at Total Sports Recall, official email address, which is totalsportsrecall@gmail.com. And this has been an absolute pleasure and honor to have BB Flannery on the show. If you're in Pittsburgh, lived in Pittsburgh, still residing there, just mention to anyone from the 1970s the name BB Flannery, and they will know who this man is. Those of my age and those who remember the 70s, thank you, BB, for so many great memories, even if you might have been a rival. Be sure to check out the official website of Total Sports Recall at totalsportsrecall.com. On my website, official Total Sports Recall products are available for purchase. There's also my YouTube channel, which you may find by searching on the title of the show, and I can be reached on Twitter using my handle at TSRHarv59. For BB Flannery, this is Harv Aronson inviting you to return next weekend for yet another podcast episode. Not scheduled next Saturday is a former guest, Gridiron Greats magazine editor Bob Swick, who will be discussing the latest issue due to come out this week. For everyone out there, have a wonderful week ahead.
The contents of this podcast do not represent the opinions of others and are solely the opinions of Harv Aronson based on his experience, knowledge, and research.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.